Amen. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here because we know you promised it in your word. And Father, you've shown us and we understand the many facets of the parousia, which is the appearing. And Lord, we know you came down with a shout. You're getting ready for the voice of the resurrection, and then the trump will be caught away. We know there's also many facets to your parousia. Jesus, Paul, Peter, James, John, all of them, they all spoke on it. And when they did speak on it, they gave us signs and events that will take place during that time. And we've seen 82 of the 86 things take place, so we're looking for the 83rd, which we believe to be the resurrection. So, Father, we're coming to a place where we're going to get out of here, have a rest and peace at the wedding supper, and then come back in the millennium where we will live 1,000 years because no man has ever lived 1,000 years. And you want to prove your word to be true. You said the day that we eat thereof, the day we die, and we know that Methuselah lived only 969 years, so he was cut short, and all men have cut short, but you have a bride that will live 1,000 years during the millennium. So we're thankful for that, Lord, and we know that from that point on, time blends into eternity, and the millennium runs out, and the resurrection, the second resurrection takes place, the judgments of the white throne, and all these things. But Father, we're just so thankful that in all of it, Father, we know that you have the preeminence. You are in full control, for it is you that is working in us to will and to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, we're going to wrap up on the millennium. Last week, we gave you scriptures and some quotes, but this week, we're going to kind of just give you the rest of the quotes that we have on this and show you how they... show you the order of events, okay? Yeah, we started to do that last week, and I got a lot of replies from people. They really enjoyed that, so we're going to finish up. And I was up actually retweaking this to about 11 last night, and I went to bed. I actually slept almost 10 hours, and I woke up, and this morning I got an email from Australia with more children's questions and answers. And I know we enjoyed the question and answers we had before. You're really going to enjoy this one. I've got 5 pages already since 9 o'clock this morning, and I didn't even cover the first scripture. So it's just the Lord has just been so good, and he just opens my heart, my mind to his word, and I'm just so thankful for that. You know, if you just stay in the word, God's always going to give you more. You know, it says he that has will have more, okay? Or he that hath has a greater measure. And we know the word hath is echo. So, you know, if you echo his word, he's going to keep bringing it on. And you're just going to keep echoing until you're out of here. So, all right. So this morning, we're going to look at how Brother Branham places the millennium in proper scriptural time frame. This first quote says it all. And I'm going to place a number by each point that he gives, so that you have a correct order of events, you have them correctly, and all questions should be put to rest. Because remember, under the seventh seal, there's complete relaxation. That's what he said in the seventh seal. And so we should be at a place where we so trust God. He has all our answers for us. You know, it's not him that worketh or him that runneth, it's God that showeth mercy. And so we're even born not of flesh or not of will of man, but, you know, by God. So beginning with the appearing of Christ, which Brother Branham said is what is taking place right now, and it gets us ready for the second coming of Christ. So I will number them for you when we get to the rest of them, okay? From end time evangelism, Brother Branham said, now we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words. To appear and then to come. Two different words. You know, that's where people don't read their Bibles one thought at a time. They read it, let me read it like a book. And, you know, I heard one guy say, well, I've read the Bible 3 times. And I said, okay. And I talked to him. He didn't even know what he read. Okay. So, and that's the way it was, I remember preaching in 2004 in Congo, and I remember one brother came up and said, boy, if I learned anything today, I learned to read my Bible one thought at a time. Because if you read it like a book, even a sentence in the Bible or a verse, and you read that verse, that might have four or five thoughts of God in that one verse. Think about that. And if you just read it all as one, you're going to miss the other thoughts. When your wife writes you a love letter, you look at every single word to find the meaning behind each word. That's why words are very, very important, you know. That's why sometimes you see me, I might pause for just a minute to find the right word, because I like being very accurate. I don't like to just throw words out to, you know, I've seen people swayed by the actions of the minister. I remember one time a young minister from down south, I had been mentoring him for a while, and so he was preaching at a local church over in Middletown. And he said, I just can't understand. I met him during the lunch break, okay? And he said, I got to preach tonight. But he said, I just can't even hear myself preach. And I said, well, I said, maybe it's because you're preaching so loud that the reactions of everybody else is drowning you out. And they're all amening and shouting and everything else. And they don't even understand what you're saying. He said, that's exactly what happened. I said, then try teaching this afternoon. Try explaining the word with no emotion. No emotion. Just explain the word. So he did. I went to the evening service. He did. And he had a really good response. In fact, the pastor said, he got up there and he said, I just know that we heard from God tonight. And you see, the people get so wrapped up in the amens, hallelujah. You know, in the morning, he'd be standing on the front of the, you know, in front of the pulpit, you know, and doing all those Pentecostal things, and everybody was just wild about, oh wow, this is a great sermon, and they didn't even understand a thing he said. In the evening time, he just calmly talked to them like they should be talked to, and they understood. So sometimes when you use a lot of emotion, carrying on, ranting and raving, you know, I see these preachers, you know, they kind of do the shuffle, you know, that's actually a Mick Jagger thing. They do this back, you know, backward walk, you know, what's the guy's name? He's the black boy, huh? Yeah, Michael Jackson. He even did the same thing, you know. And they think, oh, this is wonderful. This is the Holy Spirit. No, it's not. It's just men putting on a performance. So I'm not here to put on a performance. I want to just look at each thing that Brother Branham said so we get a better understanding of what we're headed for. Okay, so anyway, he says, we are witnessing the appearing. Now, if we're witnessing, that means you've got to have some understanding of what's going on. Because you can't be a witness called to a witness jury and get up there and blah, blah, blah. You know, if you don't make any sense, you don't make a good witness. A witness is someone who sees with their eyes and they can compartmentalize each event that took place and tell it just like they saw it. Well, we are witnessing the appearing. Okay, so how are we witnessing the appearing? It's not just that God sent a prophet. That was part of it, because God used a prophet to show us he was here. In other words, we saw the supernatural that no man could do. We saw that happen, but we're still seeing that happen in this hour. All right, but we're also tied to the message that the prophet brought. Okay, in other words, we don't have the same gift of discernment that he had, but we've seen miracles, we've seen storms, we've seen everything else just change direction and every, you know, so God is still with us. All right. So he says it's two different words. To appear, okay, that's one word. But you see, when people read their Bible and they see the appearing of the Lord, they're thinking coming. But he says to appear and then to come. You know, the Father came before the promised Son came to Abraham, right? So that's that. God gave us a indication of how it would take place. The Father always comes on the scene. He makes ready everything for the promised Son. That's what he's done and doing, okay? Because he's still here, even though the prophet's off the scene. The prophet will come back on the scene in the resurrection. And if he isn't the first one up, I don't know who will be, because he which is last shall be first, and he which is first shall be last. So Paul's age will come up later, and Brother Branham even told us the order of the resurrection is that my generation will come up first. All right? Then my father's generation, my father's father's generation, all the way back to Paul's time. So we're looking at an order. You get in an elevator. If you're the first one in, you're the last one out. If everybody's getting off at the same stop, right? Unless you hog it and you stick by the button there and let everybody, you know. But if you're a decent person, you just get in the back and let everybody come in and you'll get out. Well, that's the order of the resurrection. He that's first shall be last. That's Paul's age, shall be last. And he that is last, that's William Branham's age, shall be first, okay? But he says, now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. Now, it's a sign of his coming. So the appearing of the Father shows us the Son is on his way, okay? Now, he's appearing in his church. Not just appearing through William Branham. That's what everybody's trying to say. Well, only William Branham had it. No, William Branham is not. He was the first fruit in this hour. Jesus was the first fruit in that hour. But if he's not in you, then you're just lost. And if he's in you, guess what? You'll have his spirit, right? By one spirit, we're all baptized into one body. All right. Well, what is the spirit? It's your nature. Brother Branham says it's the nature of the soul. So you have his nature, you're going to do what he does. If you have the nature of Dillinger, you're going to rob banks. If you got the spirit or the nature of Mozart, you're going to compose music. But if you have the spirit of God, the nature of God, you're going to do God things, okay? You can't help it. Now, it's not your flesh that's doing it. It's the Holy Spirit working through you to do it, okay? So he's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. Now, it's a sign, okay? So it's a sign of his coming. And remember, in all the scriptures, there's 23 times the parousia is used. And the parousia simply means presence. But every preacher, Paul, Peter, James, John, all of them that used that word parousia in the scripture gave us signs and events. So we ought to know what those 86 signs and events are. And if we don't know them, we are missing out on what God has done. All right? So he's appearing in his church. He's appearing in you. Okay? That's why we can conduct ourselves like the Spirit that's in us conducts, wants us to be conducted. Okay? In the form of the Holy Ghost, showing that it's him, because people can't do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now, you remember, it spoke both places, appearing and coming. Brother Vail said before he went off the scene, he said, you know, when words no longer have meaning, he quoted Michener, he said, it's all over. When words don't mean what they mean, it's all over. And so when you make the appearing and coming the same thing, you can do that with other things too. Well, how about an apple and an orange? They're two different things. They mean two different things. But you know what? If you don't understand what an apple is or what an orange is, you think, well, it's fruit, okay? So I'm going to eat the fruit. Oh, this one tastes different. I don't know why. You know, common sense tells you it's two different words. It means two different things. And he said, it is two words, and it means two different things. And we have shown you that the parousia of Christ is the same thing as his appearing. And God has given us 86 signs and events to call out his presence among you. Now remember, Brother Branham taught it from the standpoint of the appearing and the coming. But he was showing us the same thing. Brother Vail in 77 went and showed us, okay, there's more than just appearing and coming. There's actually parousia, which is the appearing, and all the events that are associated with the appearing. Even the shout, voice, and trump, actually the Bible says that's associated with his parousia, okay? Because his parousia is with us until God takes us home and he turns to the Jews, all right? So then God ends it all with a fire. He's still here doing it all. I mean, man can blow up one place, or blow, but God makes sure it's all blown. It's all destroyed by the fire of man the first time. Then God comes back and does a good job and does it himself, okay? So just all you have to do is read all 23 scriptures where the word is used, and you'll see that there are 86 signs and events. So question and answers. Brother Branham says, and this is number one, the church age is ending and has blacked out. The bride is called. So the question is, have we already entered into the tribulation period? And he answers, no. It's like people think, well, the third coming is, we're waiting for the third coming, and the second coming is already taking place because God came down with a shout. And, you know, they don't understand scripture. There's a difference between the appearing and the coming, okay? They believe we're in the millennium. Now, come on. People are still killing people, and the Bible says that the lion shall lay down with the lamb in the millennium. So it's completely illiterate to the scripture people's minds, okay? They get an idea that this is right, and they just run with it. Then he says, I wish that I could just have more time on that. See? Again, number one, the bride, when she's taken from the church, then the church age will cease. At that time, remember, when we're gone, Laodicea goes into chaos. Now, if you think it's chaotic now, wait till the Holy Spirit leaves the earth. It'll be total chaos. Men will be like beasts, okay? They're almost, look, how can they do things to children that they do? How can they do things to people that they do? They're just, how can they, if you disagree over politics, all of a sudden you're an enemy and they hate you. You see, this is all signs of the end time, and we just have to understand they're ordained to do what they do because they're ordained to reflect Satan's Eden, okay? But the bride, when she's taken from the earth, then the church age will cease. Laodicea goes into chaos, okay? So that is what he said. Number two, the bride then goes to glory. Now, I just put the numbers in myself, but these are all from the prophet. He's explaining it. The bride goes to glory. Now, remember, at the same time, we are in glory. The world is in tribulation, period. We're not seeing what's happening to this earth, and I wouldn't want to see it, because if I saw it, then I wouldn't be in glory. Okay, I'd rather just know that the Bible tells us what's going to happen. It's up to God. Let him do his job, okay? People are always trying to twist God's mind. You can't twist God's mind. It was made up before the foundations of the world. So just enter into his mind, his thinking, his doxa, you know, his opinion, value, and trust. And just trust God. Number three, the tribulation period sets in upon the sleeping virgin for 3.5 years while, that means at the same time, number four, at the same time, Israel is getting its prophecy. Now remember, this is a time when the two witnesses take this message to them. Brother Branham said they must have this message. And we know the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, will take it to them, okay? Then tribulation sets in upon Israel. All right. So what's taking place in the Christian world, which are getting the mark of the beast and all this stuff, Israel's kind of behind it because they have this preaching from the two witnesses. And remember, it's going to be accepted right from the beginning. It'll be a wonder to everybody when they see the miracles and signs and everything else. But then when they start preaching the word and they are told by Moses and Elijah, they've been wrong. Only 144,000 will accept that, and the rest will hate him so much. The government of Israel will actually hang him. Okay? That's what happened to Jesus in Luke 4. And we'll get into that. I think we'll get into it next week. So at the same time, Israel getting his prophecy, and remember, this is a time when the two witnesses take this message to them. Then tribulation sets in upon Israel. So at that time, the two witnesses, all the chaos of the tribulation will be occurring. Number six, And then comes the battle of Armageddon, which destroys all things. So the 144,000 receive the message from the two witnesses, and the government then hangs the two witnesses and begins to purge the 144,000 who become martyrs. Then Armageddon destroys everyone. All right? So don't look at Armageddon at the end of the millennium. It's happening. It'll happen here during the time we're having the wedding supper. All right. Then, number seven, the bride returns back with the groom for 1,000 years, the millennium reign. And you ask yourself, why 1,000 years? Why couldn't it be 10,000 years? Well, it could be, but it's got to be at least 1,000, because God has to prove his word right. He said, the day you eat thereof, the day you die. And so we are the first people that will live 1,000 years. Can you say amen to that? That's really a real blessing, okay? Then 7a. After that comes the white throne judgment. So after the millennium comes the white throne judgment. So white throne is after the millennium and after the general resurrection at the end of the millennium. Now remember, this is after the 1,000-year honeymoon with Christ. Number 8, after that comes the new heavens and new earth. And the new city coming down from God out of heaven, eternity and time blends together. So you ask yourself, why is that? Because I thought it was happening now. Well, Brother Branham is he's preparing us through his word to enter into eternity. But we're not going to be there until after the millennium, because a millennium is 1,000 years, right? That's still time. So at the end of the 1,000 years, all of a sudden now we go into eternity after the white throne, after the destruction of Satan, everything else. This is when time will blend with eternity. If time blended with eternity when the second resurrection takes place and the dead all come up and then they rebel, well, they're rebelling in eternity. That can't be, because they'd have to have eternal life in order to do that, right? So they're still living in the time zone of the millennium. So at the end, okay, then everything's wiped out. God sends them to the lake of fire. Then he takes us up from the earth, so he can renovate the earth with a fire of God. Then we come back down. The new Jerusalem comes down. The bride stays there. And the ones who made it through the white throne that were children of God, that were actually good people but didn't have the Holy Ghost, will be given it at that time. All right? That's going to be beautiful. So we should be careful how we judge people that are different thinking than we are, because God works with everybody. And I'm going to show you next week's sermon that God deals with everybody. I mean, you've heard people on the internet talk about, you know, how their car passed through a bus, or a bus went right through them and didn't kill them. You've seen videos of that. You shouldn't have that attitude of, well, they're not in the message, so God's not dealing with them. Listen, God deals with everybody. Everybody. That doesn't mean that they're going in a rapture, but he deals with everybody. And people will be given life on the other side. All right? And Brother Branham said, that is because those people did something good for the elect. And the Bible says, even a cold glass of water will never lose its reward. So just remember, treat everybody decently. I don't care if they disagree with you in doctrine, so what? That's their opinion. Keep the opinion of God, which we know the prophet brought it, the word, and we line them up and say, okay, but this is what the word says. I don't care what your opinion is. You know, you're entitled to it, but I'm sticking with what God said, okay? That's how you treat people that are different. You don't get mad, exclude them out, make them some type of a enemy. That's all nonsense. That's all human thinking. But Brother Brown said time and eternity blends when all this takes place. This is when time blends with eternity. Remember, during the 1,000 years, we still have time. Okay? So I think it is a very good description of what is to take place, beginning with the appearing or the parousia of Christ. And we know that consists of 86 signs and events, of which 82 have already taken place. Just, we preached a couple of sermons where we actually, I wanted to get it done in one, but it was too lengthy. But we looked at every single one. Jesus gave us like 7 or 8 different signs and events. You know, he said there'd be wars and rumors of wars and Israel, you know, the fig leaf will blossom. He told us all these things, but Paul did also. And Peter did also. And James and John did also. So we have God's word. We have his time stamp. We understand these things. So let's just not be human and get so minded with the cares of this life that we forget what God has told us to get us ready. God told Noah to build an ark, okay, for the saving of his home. You need to build your ark. You need to actually enter into your ark, which is Christ. And for the saving of not only you, but the saving of your children, okay? And the saving of your spouse, the saving of your home, okay? Because we read from last week in Isaiah, it says all their offspring with them. Now that is a really tremendous blessing that they will be at least in the new earth. And they'll be there with you in the new earth. And you'll be able to go out of the city, visit family, visit relatives, visit ones that you love and loved you. And it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing to think about. Okay? I know when we go on a vacation, we all think, hey, we're going to see this site and this site and this site. Just think, you're going to see the millennium. You're going to be in the new Jerusalem. Oh, God. It's so beautiful. In the millennium, you build your house and this and that. You plant your gardens, everything else. But in the millennium, you're living in the city. God does everything for you. He builds you a mansion. He does everything for you. You know, that's going to be tremendous because I can't build. I mean, I try. I can do a little general contracting, but I just don't have the skills like, say, Justin does. But I could try here. And I don't think instantaneously in the millennium I'm going to have the skills of the Amish. You know, I'm not going to have my hands so. But he's going to do it for us in the New Jerusalem. All right. So from Victory Day, he says, we have had many battles, great battles, and we all have. Spiritual battles, that's amen. Many great V days that the church has had. I mean the church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about organization systems now. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of believers down through the ages has many great V days. That's victory days. We talk about it. We've had several wars and rumors of wars and V days and V days and number six. But it'll finally wind up in the great battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last of it. When she comes to the battle of Armageddon, that settles the whole thing. Now, you're going to be gone, so you don't have to worry about the earth blowing up. Brother Bram said, he said, 1 minute before a bomb strikes America, you'll be in the arms of Christ. So I wouldn't even think about those things. I'd just be thinking about Christ, okay? 7, just before the great millennium. So the Armageddon happens. It's the last thing to happen before the great millennium. But we're with Christ at the last, at the wedding supper. So Armageddon, and I put number 6, is to clean off the earth. Notice 6, it's man's doing. Man is always represented by 6. So the first purging of the earth was by the flood of Noah's day. Then the next purging will be by the atomic fire of man. We see this in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Then he says, she repurifies herself with the atomic blowing. That's the earth. And the volcanic ash, which is set up by the atomic explosion. You know, you think the atomic explosions are going to do it all. No, you've got volcanoes all around the world. They'll all be set off by the rattling, by the shaking and all that magma will come up and just destroy everything. I mean, they say when the one in Wyoming takes place out at Yellowstone, the plume will be cause 3 days of darkness all the way to the East Coast. You're not going to live through those times, but I'm glad we are. We are going to live through those times. Now, people that are here will not, but we'll be enjoying the wedding supper. Okay, and the thing sinks, this soaked blood of men upon the earth and sin and the crime. She sinks beneath the earth. The volcanic breaks out again and renews and cleans the earth for the seventh great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for a people to live here. Amen. I say I like that. Yes, sir. There's coming a time when it'll be great. Okay. Now, from question and answers, he said, would you please explain Satan is bound 1,000 years, being loose again for the battle of Revelation 27, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. All right. So from question and answers, he says, Jesus, the church, the bride, was raptured. When it went into glory and was up there and was married, returned back to the earth and lived 1,000 years. At the end of 1,000 years, Satan was loosed out of his prison that is bound by an angel with a chain, not a log chain, but a chain of circumstances. All of his subjects was in hell. You see, if you don't have a Fauci or a Clinton or, you know, these evil people here, nothing's going to be done. Satan has no one to control. If he's got Holy Ghost-filled people, he can't control you. God controls you. Amen. So the Bible says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, over which the second death has no power. Now notice in the second resurrection when they come up, that Satan is loosed out of the prison for a little season. Then the judgment is set. Now watch. Jesus with the bride as king and queen set in the throne, or at the throne, white throne judgment. And the books were opened, and the books of the sinners. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And every man was judged thus by the bride. You realize the saints shall judge the earth? Know you not, taking these little matters before the law, know you not that the saints shall judge the earth? Now again, from question and answers, he said, the Bible said, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It will be 1,000 years upon the earth. Because 1,000 years upon the earth is only counted a time for parable like to God as one day. Remember, and I think last week I said, I actually was meaning 1,000, and I said 10,000, but then it came back and I said 1,000. So anyway, we all make mistakes. Even the prophet said, and I'll show you next week he did, but even the prophet made mistakes. Not doctrinal mistakes, not word mistakes, just his speaking. He'd say, this year and it was this year. He'd say 700 and it was 7,000. He'd say, you know, different things like that. And that's human. Every man that ever lived does those things, especially as you get older, your mind is whirling and, you know, you say something before you actually, sometimes you speak before it clicks in here, okay? It will be 1,000 years upon the earth, because 1,000 years on the earth is only counted a time for parable like to God as one day. That's why I told you a couple weeks ago that you were only healed 2 days ago in God's mind. 2 days. And we don't have the patience to wait another few hours for our healing. Listen, when healing begins, it's like Brother Brown said, when you say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart. And it'll start moving one pebble at a time. So you should be looking for each pebble in your healing. You see, that's the way God works. You might have a whole rash of things. You might have cancer all over your body. But you know what? All of a sudden, now my lungs are free. All of a sudden, now my bones are free. All of a sudden, now my liver is free. You see, and slowly but surely, God is healing your body. Look at each thing and don't say, well, why didn't he heal me altogether? You know, I had a brother that we prayed for. He had his, the whole bottom of his heel cut off. He had mesoderm, endoderm. You know, he had all the layers of his flesh removed from his foot. All the tendons removed from his foot. All the ligaments removed from his foot. And he had bone. And Helena, you were there. You saw it. He had bone sticking up. But he came to church. He had on a wrap from the hospital. They were going to take his foot off on Monday. And he said, well, can I go to church? And they said, well, if you promise you'll come back. He said, I will. And we prayed. We laid hands on him. We prayed. Helena even put some lavender oil on it. Changed the bandages because they hadn't been changed since Friday. And he went back and he had a scar. That's all. The flesh, the tendons, everything grew back. Everything grew back. He had a scar the size of your pinky. And so he was visiting our church because he had a friend there. But he was from a Pentecostal church. And the Pentecostals said, well, if you didn't get healed by God, because if God had healed you, you wouldn't have that little scar. And I told him, go back and tell him then Jesus wasn't raised from the dead because he had scars on his hands and his feet and his side. All right? See, God is beautiful. And so I said, that is a reminder for you the rest of your life that God healed you. And you know what? He lived 15 more years just like Hezekiah. So he died in his 80s. I think he's like 85 when he died. He was about 70 years old when it happened. And because he had stepped on a screw, went through his boot, and he worked all day on it. Didn't know it because he had diabetes. So, but God healed him. All right. So we've seen God grow back flesh. All right. Now, I wasn't living when I was 12 years old. But when Brother Branham prayed for people that had no eyes and God delivered eyes to them, Billy Paul saw the white come first, and then Brother Ram said, oh, I forgot to ask God for a color. What's your favorite color? She said, blue. So God, he said, bow our heads again. And he said, then a blue flash came. So anyway, we are witnesses to God, to all the things God has done. And so I really believe that if we just take God's thinking one thought at a time, until we learn that thought and run it from Genesis to Revelation, then we won't be arrogant. We won't be piping off about this or that. We'll know where we're standing with God. All right. So from question and answer, the Bible said, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. It will be it'll be 1,000 years upon the earth, because 1,000 years on the earth is only counted a time for a parable, like to God as one day. 1,000 years upon the earth is only one day with God as counting time. How many understands that now? So it's that Sabbath day when the church will no longer labor against sin. Can you imagine never having an evil thought again in your life? I'm looking forward to that day. Anybody else? I sure am. So Satan is bound for a little season, 1,000 years, because his subjects is all in hell. And the church that's on earth is redeemed and right in the presence of Christ, so he has nothing that he can work on. So it's not a chain, as I said, a log chain. It's a chain of circumstances. He has nothing he can do. He's helpless and hopeless, just waiting for the resurrection of his subjects. But then they're separated as the sheep from the goats at the white throne judgment. Now, from junction time, he said, we know that we're in the great day of the last reign, when Satan will be bound and cast into the pit, chained with a chain of circumstances that he cannot come out and deceive the nations no more. And 1,000 years reign, millennium reign, will take place on the earth while we're glorifying our Lord Jesus and adoring him, crowning him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, when God is done with the Jews, he comes back, and then we crown him King and Lord of Lords. The bride is going to do that, because he will reincarnate his son again. All right. So Satan is bound during the tribulation for 1,000 years by a chain of circumstances, because he can't get to anyone, because the Holy Ghost people will be there, and you can't deceive the very elect. You know, so many preachers preach such fear amongst the people that if you listen to that other church, or you listen to this, or you listen to that, you're going to go to hell because you're going to be deceived. Well, my Bible says you can't be deceived. You can listen to these false people. I don't say we should, but you can hear it, and you should be able to rightly divide the word of truth. You shouldn't be afraid to read. Like Brother Bell said, I'm not afraid to read what other ministers have got to say. I'm not afraid. See, they are in certain places. They say, only listen to the prophet or you're going to be deceived. No, you can't be deceived. And if another ministry can help you, then you should listen to it as well. Okay? Not saying you don't listen to the prophet, but what you do is you got the prophet, you got the word, and you line it up. All right? So Satan is bound during the tribulation for 1,000 years by a chain of circumstances because he can't get to anyone because only the Holy Ghost people will be there and you can't deceive the elect. Then when everyone is raised for the white throne judgment, and then I'll continue, and shall go out to deceive the nations, that's the scripture, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So this Gog and Magog is not Russia, is not China, like 99.9% of the preachers are saying. It has nothing to do with Magog. Well, that must be Moscow, you know. And I mean, it's ridiculous. It's the world after the millennium. Those nations won't exist anymore on earth. All right? But Brother Branham said, that is not the battle of Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon takes place on this side of the millennium. See, all right, when the tribulation period is ended. Now, what relation does this have with the battle of Gog and Magog? None. So get it out of your mind that Gog and Magog and Armageddon is the same thing. It's not. So when you hear that from these preachers, you say, they're not vindicated. They don't know what they're talking about. They're only saying what their school of theology says, okay? Now, one is 1,000 years, and the other one is at the end of the 1,000 years. There's 1,000 years between them. The question continues. As mentioned in the fourth seal, will Gog and Magog be gathered from peoples on the new earth? Brother Branham replies, Satan was loosed out of his prison and went to gather all the people, the wicked, to bring them to this place, and God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven, and they were consumed. See, two battles altogether. So you see, Armageddon has not taken place yet. After the bride is gone, then tribulation sets in for 3.5 years. At the end of the tribulation, the Armageddon and the earth will be cleansed by fire, getting it ready for the millennium. Now, I hope you're getting this because before Brother Branham made this clear, it was speculated by millions, actually billions, okay? And they were all wrong, all wrong. So when Brother Branham says 1% are getting it, that's a very few, in fact, he said one out of a million. As a 250 million, or 2.5 million people in this message, if you claim this message, one out of a million is only 2.5. So most people don't get it. Most people don't take the message with the prophet and the Bible and line it together. If you've done any shooting, you know you can't have just a front sight on a gun and not have a back sight because you won't hit nothing. All right? And these people think Gog and Magog were Russia and China in the same way they think Babylon. Have you ever heard this one? Babylon the Great is the USA. You ever hear these preachers on YouTube? Well, the Great Babylon is the United States. Where do you find that in Scripture? Very few know that Babylon the Great is the Vatican. But that is very, very plain. Revelation 17:1 says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the water. Now remember, it says one of the angels which had the seven vials. Each messenger had a vial. At the end time, the messenger, William Branham, has a vial also, but it says in another place in Scripture, he has all seven of them. So all the plagues that took place during the church ages are going to happen at one time. That's called the Great Tribulation. All right? And he talked with me and saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, if wine represents the stimulation of revelation, everybody believe that? Then her bad wine is her false revelation that makes the nations drunk and not think clearly. They all think, oh, holy pope. There's no holy pope. All right. And it is the wine of her fornication, which means she claims to be the bride of Christ, but does not live true to her husband. And this false relationship has made the nations to think unclearly. Who's her husband supposed to be? The Word. And she doesn't use the Word. The Bible was just written as a history of the church. Hogwash. It's God's thinking. Read it one thought at a time. So it carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw the woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of blasphemous names, Brother Bram called it that, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, like the cardinals, who are the princes of the church, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And remember, the cardinals, which are the princes, choose a prince from among them who becomes a pope. All right? And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet like the cardinals, okay, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her false revelation, of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Why is it a mystery? Because the people are so stupid. They're dumbed down. They don't believe God's word. The mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So she is not only a whore herself, but her daughters are harlots. As is the mother, so is the daughters, okay? Ezekiel 16:44 says, as is the mother, so are her daughters. Every seed will bring forth after its kind. So if it's a denomination, if it's an organized religion, then it came out of the first organized religion, which is Rome. Every seed, okay? Every denomination. That is all the denominations the Catholic Church gave birth to. I mean, out of the Catholic Church came the Lutherans. Out of the Catholic Church came the Baptists. Out of the Catholic Church came, the Latter Rain. Out of the Catholic Church came the Pentecostals, okay? Organized just like her. So the harlot is just like her mother, who was a whore. All you got to do is look at how they operate, and you can take it right back to Rome. And I saw the woman drunken. Now, what happens when you're drunken? You kind of lose your thinking, right? I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. In other words, wow, this is really puzzling to me. Check out Fox's Book of Martyrs. It details the martyrdom of 68 million Christians at the hands of the Catholic Church. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Why were you wondering? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. This speaks of Rome as a power becoming Rome as a church. That's what the prophet taught us. And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. Well, that's where Satan is, okay? That means it comes right out of hell and goes into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is, papal succession. And here is a mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now, I've heard people say that Cincinnati and San Francisco sit on seven hills. But this city rules over the kings of the earth, and Cincinnati does not, neither does San Francisco. But the seven hills are Aventine, Caeline, Capitoline, Esquiline, Palatine, Quirinal Hill, and Viminal Hill. Okay, the seven from the second seal, Brother Brown said, the seven heads are seven mountains. The Greek word is oros, and it means a piece of land that is lifted up above the plain. It could be a hill or a mountain. So although the King James Version chose to call it mountains, that was only to deceive, because it's actually a hill, seven hills. There are not seven mountains around the Vatican. It's hills. It's elevated places. Okay? But see, when Brother Branham said there's two words mean two different things, well, people don't look at their Bible. And they don't, you know, they question, okay, well, the Bible says mountain. Well, why don't you look up the Greek and see what it actually says? Now, remember, the King James Version was written by a bunch of Trinitarians. All the Bibles were. So you've got to read them and take it back to what the prophet said. That's why you got to line the thing up. Okay? On which the woman sitteth. Oh, you'd have to be totally blind, Brother Branham says. Deaf and dumb not to get that. All right? And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is yet to come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. That was Nero at the time this was written, who only lasted 6 months. So Nero came on the scene after Jesus, you know, was gone. He only lasted 6 months, but he burnt the city. You know, he was like a Biden. Okay? He was totally insane, like an Obama. Just completely destroyed everything in a matter of only 6 months. And then he blamed it on the Christians, just like they say. They blame everything on people that are conservative. Oh, that's, they're evil people. Those people that say that are evil themselves, okay? And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space at Nero, okay? And the beast which is Rome, that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. In other words, Rome had a succession of kings. The one to come, which is short space, was Nero. Then the other one brought total control over the earth, okay? Pagan was brought into papal Rome. That same conquering spirit. That eighth, that the seventh goes into eighth. The eighth was the pope, or the succession of popes. Pagan Rome was brought into papal Rome. That same conquering spirit. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings. What does the word as mean? Huh? The same as. All right? So they receive power in the same way, kings, 1 hour with the beast. And the word as means in the same way. From why we are not denomination, Brother Bram said, and the ten horns which thou saw are ten kings. Now watch here. If you want to see something striking, watch this. And our ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. They are not crowned kings, they're dictators. See, they never was crowned king, but they received power as, in the same way, as kings 1 hour in the reign of the beast. That's just in this little shadowy time right now where dictators are rising up. Now remember, he said this back in the 50s and 60s, and you didn't have a lot of, I mean, at that time you're starting to get Mao Zedong and Stalin, and so he saw the pattern there, okay? But you still didn't have like some of the others, I'll mention them to you. But they've already come and gone, a lot of them have. But now, all right, the 20th century was the golden age of dictatorship, that roughly 90-plus countries experienced such regimes at least once. That happened in the 20th century, okay? The 1900, or the, you know, the 1800 to 1900, okay? Just look at all the murderous big-name dictators that have risen in the last 70 years. Now, Brother Bram's been gone 65. These are the 10 worst. Well, Hitler, okay, that was during his time. Stalin, that was during his time. Mao Zedong, he came after Brother Bram. Putin or Belshazzar, El Shazzar. I don't think it was Putin. They listed him as one of the 10 worst, but he was elected. He's a Christian, claims to be. He's against Rome, so he hates Rome. He's going to destroy Rome because that's what the prophet said. All right. So I don't know if we can consider him one of them. So I put in here Bashar al-Assad, because he was over Syria and did butcherous things to the people, even gassed the children and stuff like that. And then we have Castro. He put together, you know, you could look each of these names up and see how many millions of people they butchered. Pol Pot, that was completely butchering. Robert Mugabe from Uganda, he was a total butcher. Mugabe was from Zimbabwe, before it was Zimbabwe. Idi Amin, Kim Jong-un, and Xi Jinping. The reason I'm not sure of Putin, he was elected to office and hates Rome and says he is a Christian. And the next verse, and in fact, Brother Bram says that the atomic bomb that'll take out the Vatican comes from Rome, comes from Russia, and Russia is being raised up as a puppet in the hands of God. Okay, he's going to do God's work. So these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That is Rome, which Putin hates. Okay. So the 10 I listed here could be wrong because I'm not a prophet, but they all have one thing in common beyond their murderous spirit, which is their nature, is serpent seed. These men shall make war with the Lamb. See, they'll be against Christianity. Putin is not, but he's against Romanism. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Now that is self-explanatory. Now, when I was looking at these 10 kings, I also saw that Leopold II did butcherous things in Congo. He acted as if Congo was his property. He killed millions of people, but he was elected a king in succession. His father was also a king. So I had to take him out of the list. So the 10 horns, or 10 dictators, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now that's kind of an oxymoron, because they play into the Rome setting up kingdoms and stuff, but they really hate her and they hate Christianity. All right? Now notice all these dictators hate the Vatican and her association with Christianity, even though it is a fake association. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city. Well, Rome is not a city. Rome is a country. But the Vatican controls Rome, and the Vatican is only 1 square mile. Can you imagine that? 400 people controlling the earth? That's about how many people are in the Vatican City. So Babylon the Great is a city which sits on 7 mountains, and the waters are the nations that she rules over. And that can only be the Vatican City. So we see that this message, like in the days of Moses, Brother Branham, like Moses, took the people out of Egypt, and he took us out of the church, which is a type of the world, or the World Council of Churches. But it was under the pillar of fire that the people entered into the land of promise while Moses was off the scene. And in the message, the third Exodus, Brother Bram said, the pillar of fire is here to lead us into the millennium. Notice he said the pillar of fire is here leading us into the millennium. So he's got to be here still. From the third Exodus, he said, now I want you to notice the same pillar of fire is leading, present tense, the people again to the promised land, the millennium, where we found under the inspiration of the sixth seal that there's never been taught before how the earth has to be purified for the millennium. The pillar of fire is leading them to a millennium. And notice the pillar of fire that led Israel from the bondage in the Exodus, the pillar of fire, under the leadership of God. God was the fire, and the pillar of fire only anointed the prophet. From question and answers, he said, just the elect goes in that time. Just the elect takes the millennium. Oh, then, brother, what type of people ought we to be? I want to live through the millennium. So no one will be here on the earth during that time. Now remember, it is only a honeymoon for Christ and his bride, but God will prove his word that he said, the day you eat thereof is the day you die. And no one has ever lived 1,000 years until this millennium, and you and others will be amongst those who live 1,000 years. Isn't that? I mean, you're going to live longer than Methuselah. Isn't that wonderful? You live longer than Adam and all those people that lived 900 and some years. You will. All right? He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. If the fellow says something wrong or does something this way, pray for him and keep moving on. See, that's the problem. People stick on something, want to argue it till it's nowhere to go. Let it go. Let everything go. If you disagree, you disagree. You don't have to spout your disagreement. Let it go. When the prophet said 700, I didn't think, well, you know what? He was wrong there. No, because he came back and made it right. He said, you know, I said 7,000. I said 700. I meant 7,000. Okay? Let your one alternative be set towards God. If nobody else makes it, you make sure that you make it. For there's going to be an elect who's going to live through the millennium age and will go in and out with Christ for 1,000 years. And then they shall go up into glory with him and return again. When the resurrection of the wicked is brought forth, then the millennium will set, after the millennium is over, then Christ will go up with the church, and at the end of the 1,000 years, he will return with the church. Where do we go? He didn't say. The Bible doesn't say. That's up to God. He can take me wherever he wants to. From the future home, he says, now perfectly Noah was a type of those carried over. Now remember, when Noah come out, Ham was with him. Sin was still in there, in the ark. Sin went right over, on over through the ark. Unbelief, doubt, went over in the ark, carried above the judgment, but Enoch went higher than the ark. And he went into the presence of God, but Noah went through and come out. And there was still sin. Type of the millennium of the world's condition. The millennium is not the end of it all. There'll be still a time after the millennium. After the 1,000 years. The millennium is a space of time, but not the new earth. No, indeed. Notice in that, we'll get to it after a while. So when at the end of the 1,000 years, then everybody's raised up. And they'll bring with them their sin. Because Brother Branham said, the nature you go down with is the nature you come up with. So if you've got the nature of God, you're going to have the nature of God there. But if you don't have the nature of God, forget it. All right? From the first seal, Brother Branham said, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost, now in the form of the Holy, becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, will crown him King of Kings. That's right, see? Now from the future home, we said the future home of the groom and bride, he's coming back for you and me to the wedding supper. It's going to be 3.5 years. So let me just make a comment here. Brother Branham said he made mistakes, human things. Like here, he said, instead of years, he said, instead of years, I think he said in that quote, he said, it's going to be 3.5 days, okay? So that was a mistake. That was, we all know it'd be 3.5 years. Because he said that many, many times. He just happened to say it wrong this time. His mind was moving, okay? Just like he said 700 instead of 7,000. But if you're a legalist, you're going to get bogged down by that. So, oh, the prophet made a mistake. He can't be a prophet. Give me a break. Show me one prophet that was perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. All right? God allows the humanity to blow people away. Like Brother Brown said, God sometimes lets us say things or do things, and it costs some to go out, some to ponder over, question. That's purposely done. I do that myself. I said 10,000 instead of 1,000 in my last sermon, but then I said 1,000 right after that. And the sermon before that, I said, I was comparing, because people don't take communion, they say, it's got to be dark. No, it doesn't. It says night. And if you look up in the concordance, it says mid in parentheses and night, which means in the evening time. Not dark, evening time. But they'll say dark because they got a doctrine that says dark. But you could take communion. When do you eat supper? I eat it around 3 o'clock every day. Sometimes 4. I don't eat after 4 o'clock. Well, isn't this called the Lord's Supper? It might have been dark there in Jerusalem. We don't know. But in Alaska, in the summertime, it's light all day long. So when are you going to take communion? Wait 6 months? People have strange doctrines. It's like, well, this is the end time, so you know what? We're not going to eat meat because, you know. And I said, but just a minute. It says in the end time, they'll say they can't eat meat. You see, they only take the quotes that fit them. They don't take the other quotes where Brother Branham said, just eat it and pray over it. All right? So people do strange things to make themselves different from the rest of people. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Seventh-day Adventists, they say you can't eat meat. Brother Branham said that's cults that do that, okay? It's a cult. So Paul said just eat it, pray over it, and be done. Brother Branham said the same thing. So God doesn't make any mistakes. The sermon, okay, Brother Branham said from a messenger guide, that was God's policy. That's the way it was laid down. That's his program. He can't change from it because he's infinite. Amen. He can't change from it. He's God. I can change, but I'm a man. You can change. You're a man or a woman, but God cannot change. I'm finite. I can make mistakes and say things wrong. All of us can, but God can't and be God. So those people say, Brother Brown can't make mistakes. They didn't say what the prophet said. He said, say only what I say. And they're saying other than what he said. So you see, they're putting fear on you that you can't make a mistake. You got to be so perfect and everything lined up. Listen, you're human. Relax. Enjoy this life, but live it for God. All right? That is why you must know this message from the Word. You got to line it up, or you will stumble over any apparent mistake. And I say apparent because if it doesn't line with the Word, it's a mistake to take it over the Word. So Brother Branham said, well, I love cherry pie. My wife loves apple. So apparently she's going to hell because she loved apple pie. And Brother Branham, you got to love apple. You got to love cherry pie. You see how stupid? That is really ignorant for people to say stuff. But I've heard him say it. They don't know the Word. Brother Branham was a word prophet. That is why you must know this message from the Word, or you will stumble over any apparent mistake. If his math is wrong, well, that's not a prophet because his math is wrong. Good grief, grow up. And I say apparent because if it doesn't line up with the Word, it's a mistake to take it over the Word. Now, back to the future home. Brother Branham said, then return again in the millennium on our honeymoon, and then he's going to bring the city into view like the bridegroom taking the bride to her surprise. How many men have taken the bride to their home for the first time? Or they took their wife to a place that they were building for her? You see? How the little bride stands there in awe as she looks at her future home, and by faith today, Lord, we see it yonder. It'll be right here on earth. You promised it. Your church will be completely redeemed one of these days, and then your world will be redeemed and the rest of the particles. But first you have redeemed your people, their bodies, that's made up up of the world. Remember, we're made out of cosmos and, all the different chemicals, okay? Just a little while and we'll be summoned. Then the rapture will come. Just a little bitty group with Enoch will be taken up. Then the remnant of the woman's seed that keep the commandments of God, the Jews, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, Gentiles, will be hunted down like dogs and shall give their life for their testimony. So it's the Jews who are hunted down like dogs. All right. Then one great morning, the break of the millennium for the honeymoon will start. And then the rest of the dead live not till the end of 1,000 years. Then at the end of 1,000 years, there was a judgment showing that Ham was in the ark, and Ham is still there in the remnant. Ones that heard it and rejected it will have to be judged. Now grant it, Lord, that will not be considered among them, but will be be in the call to the wedding supper. Remember, if you're going to be called, you have to have an invitation. And that's what the word call means. For we do recognize Jesus among us today. We're going to in with him, out of the world into him. Let us walk forth in that city, come out with him. All right. From the Church Age book, the Sardisian Church Age, he said, it is the second resurrection where the five foolish virgins come up. Notice that they were virgins. So just because someone doesn't understand this message correctly, it just means they don't have the Holy Ghost. They might be good people, might even be better living than you are. They're virgins, of course. They're not tainted by denomination, by man's thinking. While the five wives who had oil become a part of that bride. But these people being separated, God-loving people, and trying to abide in the word according to what they knew of it, and being a help in the work of the Lord, will come up at the end time. So they come up all the people at the white throne judgment. All right. And these people have their names in the book of life, and their names remained. But whose names did not remain? Those of the world system churches who fought the bride will be those whose names are removed. That is who will lose out. They will be cast in the lake of fire. I remember that answers a question that I had asked Brother Bill. I said, what's the difference between the foolish virgin and the serpent seed? He said, the foolish virgin doesn't fight the bride, but the others do. Okay? Well, there it is right there. Now let us go another step. But before we do, let us review our case thus far. First of all, we know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purpose in himself before the foundation of the world. Okay? It was God's purpose to bring forth a people like unto himself. That would be a word bride. That's why he gives us his doxa, his opinions, values, and judgments. Jesus said, I pray, Father, that you would give them thy glory, which is the word doxa, that they may be one even as we are one. In the same way we are one. How is that? We come to the same mind, the same word. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the church ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. So get that monkey off your back when you get to feeling like, oh, I made a mistake. You can't even put yourself out. You can try, but you can't do it if you're his. Okay? But indeed, she shall be with him in his throne of judgment, judging the world and even the angels. Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Secondly, there is another class. Their names are also in the Book of Life, and they will come up in the second resurrection. Such are the foolish virgins and the righteous, as are spoken of in Matthew 25. In this class also are those who do not worship the beast or become involved in the Antichrist system, but die for their faith, even though they are not in the bride, not having been born again. So instead of getting mad at people because they differ from you, you should be praying for them that they will be able to overcome. All right? That they won't take the mark of the beast. All right? But they will come up in the second resurrection and go into eternal life. Thirdly, there are the borderline Christians, such as we saw in Israel coming out of Egypt. These had their names in the book of life and their works written in the books. These have, having failed to obey God and being void of the Spirit, and there's no Holy Ghost, though even the signs and wonders were amongst them. Others outside this message have signs and wonders. Will have their names removed from the book of life. Amongst this group will be the ones like Judas, who though entirely void of the Spirit, but are religious, will have manifestation in their lives, and though on the books, were not the elected in him. Now remember, when the 12 apostles went forth healing and doing signs, Judas was right there with them doing the same thing. See? Such as also was Balaam, will be in that group. Fourth and finally are the ones whose names have never been or will ever be written on the books. Such are found in Revelation 13 and 8 and Revelation 17 and 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, in other words, it's satanic, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundations of the world. So if your name was written, you'll never wonder about it, you'll know. But if your names were not written, you'll just wonder, okay? When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now Jesus said that a certain group would accept one who came in his own name. That one is the Antichrist. And that is exactly what it says of them in Revelation 13 and 8 and 17 and 8. These were ordained of God, but not unto election. And this group is such that are as Pharaoh. And it says of him, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. Like a gear fitted. So their life fits itself to destruction. That's why I said the law in the Old Testament means the instructions of the Father. But they chose to make it a law. If you do this, you're going to be lost. Or if you don't do this, you're going to be lost. And they made it a legalistic so that they could show themselves like the Pharisees how perfect they were. But if they had chosen to receive it, because the word Torah means the instructions of the Father, if they had realized it was God's instruction that says, now if you are hearken to the voice of God, these blessings will come upon you. But if you don't hearken, this is going to happen. Doesn't every father tell his child, if you live this certain way, you will be blessed. But if you choose to do this and drugs and this and that, your destruction will be upon you. Isn't that the same thing? It's the instructions of the Father, and he's our Father. So it says, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up vessels fitted for destruction. Romans 9:17 and 22. None of these would be placed on the record of life. Now from the future home, Brother Brown said, just a little while and will be summed, then the rapture will come. Just a little bitty group like Enoch will be taken up. Then the remnant of the woman's seed that keep the commandments of God, the Jews, have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Gentiles, will be hunted down like dogs and shall give their life for their testimony. Then one great morning, the break of the millennium, for the honeymoon will start, and then the rest of the dead live not till the end of the 1,000 years. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, there was a judgment showing that Ham was in the ark, and Ham is still there in the remnant. Ones that heard it and rejected it will have to be judged. Now grant it, Lord, that will not be considered among them, but will be in the call to the wedding supper. In other words, we got the invitation. For we do recognize Jesus among us today. We're going in with him, out of the world, into him. Let us walk forth in that city, come out with him. It is the second resurrection wherein the five foolish virgins come up. Notice that they were virgins. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They are missing because being in the bride, while the five wives who had oil become a part of the bride. But these people being separated, loving God and trying to abide in the Word according to what they knew of it, and being a help in the work of the Lord, will come up at the end time. They will miss the millennium, which you can begin to see by these truths as such is much more important and wonderful than we have ever thought or believed. Again, he said from the breach, he comes forth, what? To take his claims now. Oh my. Comes forth to take his claims now. He had the kinsman work. He'd come down and become a man and died. He'd done the kinsman work of redemption, but had not as yet called for his claim. Now he comes on the scene to claim his rights. And watch that, what takes place. Oh my. For which he was slain. For as becoming a kinsman to man, to die in his place to redeem him, but the elder was right when he said that he is a lion. See, the elder called him, said, a lion, because he had been a lamb, an intercessor, a bloody lamb, but now he's coming forth as a lion. My. His days of intercession are over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's righteous be righteous still. Let him that is holy be holy still. The thing is closed. Oh, brother, then what? Then what? And remember, it comes at the seventh church age when the mysteries of God will be opened. And from the breach, he said, now watch real close. This is something you must get. Now he had been doing his mediatorial work, making intercessions for the believer. For 2,000 years, he'd been back there, a lamb. Now he is stepping forth from eternity to take the title deeded book and to break the seals and reveal the mysteries, one of it at the end time. Do you get it? All right, we'll go on now. Now, break the seals and release all the mysteries to them, to the seventh angel whose message is to reveal all the mysteries of God. The mystery of God lays in these seven seals. See, that's what he said here. All the mysteries lays in these seven seals. Again, from the breach, the Lamb comes down forth now. From being mediator between God and man, he becomes a lion. And when he becomes a lion, he takes the book that is right. God's held it, the mystery, but now the Lamb comes up. Nobody could take this book. It's still in the hands of God. No pope, no priest, whatever it is, might be, they can't take the book. The seven seals hasn't been revealed. See, when that mediator, when his work is done as an intercessor, he comes forth and John the elder says he's a lion. And he comes forth, watch him now, oh my. See, he comes forth to take the book. Now watch. He reveals the mysteries of God that others has guessed at in all of these denominational ages. See, then the seventh angel, if this book of mysteries is the word of God, the seventh angel has to be a prophet, for the word of God comes to the prophet. No priest, no pope, or anything else can get it. The word don't come to such. The word of God comes only to a prophet, always. Malachi 4 promised such. And when he comes forth, he takes the mysteries of God. When the church had God all scrupled up in these denominations and restore the faith of the children back to their fathers. And then the world judgment would strike and the earth would be burnt. And then the righteous would walk up out upon the ashes of the wicked in the millennium. You understand it now. Amen. And from expectations. And we're just about closed. That would be the millennium where we won't need any healings and things. That's the next age to be issued in. From angel of the covenant, he said, but three times he came, once to redeem the bride. He comes the next time we meet him in the air to receive his bride. And he comes the next time in the millennium with his bride. That's after the wedding supper is over. We return back for the millennium. So I don't know how people can say we're in the millennium now when we haven't even been to the wedding supper yet. Unless they also misinterpret the wedding supper as eating from this message. You know, they're just kind of, they don't know the Bible, okay? From the message witnesses, if you knew positionally who you were and what you are tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person in here in the next 5 minutes. That's right. The thing of it is, you're looking off into the millennium for something to happen when it's already here. Now we are sons. Not we will be, we are right now. When? This night. Right now. this minute, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now. If you only recognize that. And from faith of Abraham. Now, Father, may the same group of people, along with many others, be baptized in Christian faith and receive the Holy Ghost and live a true Christian life until death shall break the shackles and set them free to be with God in his kingdom, return to the earth again in the great millennium to live here on earth with Jesus and never die no more. And from why are people so tossed about? He said, God, lead us by thy everlasting hand until the victory finally is won and Jesus returns to earth. Sin, sickness, and sorrow will be ended and we'll live this glorious millennium with thee. We're longing for that great day. Come, Lord Jesus, to thy word today. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank the Lord that we've covered the quotes where the prophets spoke about the millennium. I hope and pray by this week and from last week that we'll understand what we're headed for, and that we're looking forward as a person goes on vacation or looking forward to seeing things. We're looking for that great time that we'll have together where we won't have anything pulling at us to go in other directions, but that our entire focus will be upon thee. And we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.